On the line right now with us, we have Sunira Tobani, who is an assistant professor at the Center for Research in Women's Studies and Gender Relations at the University of British Columbia. Her research focuses on globalization, nation building, citizenship migration, and race and gender relation. In celebration of Women's Day, Sunira Tobani spoke last evening, presented by the Simone de Beauvoir Institute at Concordia University. She gave a lecture entitled Imperial Longings, Feminist Responses, Recasting Canadian Nationhood After 9/11. Good morning, Sunira.
Good morning.
Initially, I wanted to ask you about the concepts, the idea that you put forth of the Western the version of a woman and the non-West version of the woman, and how people with power in the world put forth those different images, homogenize them, and sort of cast them against each other often.
Well, I think that the casting of the war on terrorism and the attacks of 9/11, the attacks as an attack not only on the United States but on the entire West, and then the casting of the war on terrorism as a defense of the West by the Bush administration, I think it was actually a strategy which has, you know, worked pretty much until now. It has managed to win international support for the Bush administration in the West, even though the support has been a little less forthcoming in the question of Iraq. But certainly in the first phase of the war, the casting of this war as an attack on the whole West was a very successful strategy by the Bush administration. Of course, people of color know that this whole concept of the West is very racialized, and that it's also a very gendered concept, because the West has historically defined itself as the beacon of progress, civilization, modernity, and egalitarian values and ideals. And it has presented itself historically through the, period when it colonized the global South as, you know, part of the objective of colonization was legitimized by arguing that this was going to liberate the women from their backward, quote, patriarchal cultures. So the concept of the West is very racialized historically and very gendered, and the Bush administration has been able to draw on that and really, you know, cast the whole war as a sort of defense of the West, the civilized West, the defense of civilization, and B as a war that will actually liberate Muslim women in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in other places. And so they've used a very kind of, you know, racialized and gendered trope to gain public support for their policies. And, you know, that's what I was trying to draw attention to, that in Canada, this idea that Canada is also part of this family of the West and is therefore also under threat, and therefore the enemies of the U.S. are, quote-unquote, the enemies of Canada as well, has worked pretty successfully to, you know, mobilize public support and also to silence any dissent or any opposition to Canada's participation in the war.
You spoke a lot about the effects of September 11th and the effects that they have had on women's communities in particular. I wanted to go a little bit deeper into the experiences of Muslim women and how they have been cast post 9/11 as, quote, good Muslims and, quote, bad Muslims. Could you elaborate on that point for us?
Yes, I think that this, you know, again, you know, this is a sort of old historical ploy which is being used again, is to divide the sort of, you know, the savages away from the noble savages, if you will. In Canadian history, it's a very old trope, colonization of Aboriginal peoples. You know, Aboriginal people were constructed primarily in two ways in Canada's imagination. One was the sort of savage who had to be eliminated, who was violent, who was irredeemable. And then there was the noble savage who had to be saved, who had to be brought into civilization, who had to be modernized. And we see the same strategy being used against Muslim women. There are the bad Muslim women. These are the women who, you know, will not attack their religion, who will not want to support imperialist goals of the United States and Canada, who insist on, you know, a different sort of understanding of gender relations. Equality might mean something different from them, which would be, you know, an anti-imperialist kind of gendered politics. These have been cast as the bad women, the Muslim women who continue to wear their headscarf, the hijab, the chador. Again, they have been also cast as the bad Muslim women, the ones who will not play along with this idea that the West is really committed to liberate them. So these have been cast as the bad Muslim women. And the good Muslim women are the ones who support the war on terrorism, who want to aid the United States and Canada in freeing their core religionists all over the world. So the good Muslim then is the one who will go along with this imperialist war. And they've been cast as the ones, the servants of this new imperialist war that's going on. Again, this is a very, very old trope. If we look at colonization, the same distinctions were made. And I think that it's very important for us to recognize how these really old strategies, which have worked in the past, are being redeployed again today.
I wanted to ask you sort of a broader question about women's movements and specifically the experiences of immigrant women or first-generation women here in Canada. You spoke yesterday about the importance of history and reconnecting back with women's movements and the histories of women's movements in various parts of the world and in our own communities as a way of strengthening our movements. Oftentimes it's difficult when people are displaced from their countries of origin to some place where they have to, learn a new language, understand a new culture, and just become, quote, integrated into that society. That history often falls by the wayside. Could you give us some perspective about why it's really important for young people who are starting their activism and their awareness of women's issues and feminism to reconnect back to that history?
Yes, I think it's very important to reconnect back not only to our own history as immigrant women, but also to the history of the places that we migrate to. So I think it's really important to keep both things in mind, that we have to reconnect to our historical experience, but also that we understand the history of the places that we migrate to. In Canada, for example, that we continue to pay attention and realize that this, the founding of Canada was based on the colonization of Aboriginal peoples. So this is a history that we have to know, and we have to build solidarity with Aboriginal peoples. So, for me yesterday, what I was trying to do was, connect ourselves not only back to our own history and women's history of resistance in our own countries of origin, in our own communities, and sort of reclaim that tradition of women's resistance, but also that we recognize very clearly the places that we migrate to, like Canada, what the history of this place has been, and to be able to ally ourselves with people who have been marginalized and oppressed and colonized in Canada. I guess, the point I was trying to make really is that we need to pay attention to history, to power, and to context. These are the three things that we cannot forget, when we're looking at trying to understand our own situation, trying to sort of develop forms of resistance. History, context, and power. Those are the three key things that we have to continue paying attention to. And in a sense, the war on terror has really suppressed any kind of discussion of these three issues. Power relations in terms of the, North and South, the historical divide, which has been getting much worse over the last few decades of globalization, is today thrown completely out of the picture. Anybody who tries to raise those questions is reviled as an apologist for fundamentalism. Same around context. The way that Islam, Muslim women are being represented today is so essentialized, so racialized, so ahistorical, that anybody who tries to raise the question of context, that Islam means different things in different places, it has a different history, within different situations, and that women from different countries have had different experiences with what it means to them to be a Muslim. So again, any discussion around context has been forced out. The Bush administration's casting of this war as you are either with us or against us, with us or with the terrorists, has closed down any kind of public space for discussion of power, context, and history. And I think that, as women of color, as activists, we cannot afford to let that happen. Those three things have to be key for us to address when we're trying to, understand the world around us today, our situation in it, and how to, bring about progressive social change.
And finally, I wanted to ask you if you could tell us why for you it's important to keep celebrating International Women's Day.
Oh, for me, International Women's Day, I mean, the image that always comes up in my mind is, you know, women all over the world on this day are self-consciously thinking about their own struggles and about women all over the world. And for me, it's such a powerful, you know, it's such a powerful sort of image and such a powerful day for me. I know that women struggle all over the year. It's not just one day. But I still think that, you know, women are joined together self-consciously thinking about themselves, their struggles, and those of women all around the world on this day. And for me, that's a very, very powerful thing. I also think that it's important to celebrate Women's International Women's Day, but it's also really important for us to sort of recommit ourselves to our feminist politics, to our anti-racist politics, because, you know, I mean, this war on terrorism has been a serious setback for women's rights. It's been a really serious setback for women of color's rights, and particularly, you know, Muslim women, those who look like Muslims, who are all under suspect in this climate today. So it's important to celebrate the day, but it's also really important to recommit ourselves to a sort of anti-racist, anti-imperialist feminist politics.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Sunira.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
We've been speaking with Sunira Tobani, who is assistant professor at the Center for Research in Women's Studies and Gender Relations at the University of British Columbia. She's done a great deal of research on globalization, nation building, citizenship, migration and race, and gender relations issues through her work at UBC.